Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Right kind? It'll count. Now open your Bible and turn with me tonight to the book of Joshua, please. I could not wait to get here. The book of Joshua, in Joshua, please, in chapter 2. We'll start reading just in a moment. In Joshua chapter 2, we're going to start reading verses 1. Hey, I got to watch just a little of the news, and I seen where that Hannah Montana has now been a bad example to our children. Oh, ain't that pitiful? You know who I blame for that junk? Parents. Amen. Say amen, folks. Let me tell y'all this before I jump into this. Anybody here, have you ever been to Pigeon Forge? Gatlinburg? You know how them big chalets up there on them hills? You know they're putting chalets everywhere on them hills? I met this man down in Rockingham, North Carolina, and he owns three of them. Three of those chalets. Now, that's a lot of money. No doubt in my mind. He had a daughter, his only daughter. She's just a knockdown, gorgeous young woman. She's a pretty young woman. I think she's 15 years old. They sold every one of them chalets, sold them, and they moved to California. Don't you listen to what I'm telling you. Moved to California and gave $300,000, $300,000, never been to California, for what they call a publicist and a PR representative and a manager. $300,000 to make that girl supposedly a star. Can you believe this? This is April. Am I right? Can you believe back in January, his brother, they went to California, brought them home, stone broke. I mean, just everything's gone. To make that young girl a star in Hollywood. Ain't that pitiful? Amen. That's pitiful. And listen to this. I mean, they don't have, literally, I mean, every nickel they've got is gone. To me, that's the most appalling thing I've ever heard in my life. I know of another family that a young girl, she was in North Carolina, and she won some beauty queen pageant. And I'm talking about independent Baptist people. Sitting on the back of a convertible in one of them low-cut gowns. They showed me the picture. And I told her mother, I said, you ought to be ashamed for even letting her go to something like that. Guess what? That young girl's life is so messed up. I mean, so messed up, it's pathetic. She's been married, I think, three or four times, got children by multiple men. Her life is so mixed up. And you say, Brother Sisson, let's just be honest. Don't blame the children. Don't blame the young people. You've got to blame the parents. You have to blame the parents. You can't blame them. I personally don't think a 15-year-old is mature enough to make an adult decision. I don't. My grandpa told me, he said, as long as you put your feet underneath my table, you eat my food, you'll do what I tell you. Amen. Now, he may be an authoritarian, but I'll tell you what. Hey, I personally, you know how you raise kids? You got to start at the bottom. Y'all a little slow. Book of Joshua, please. Will y'all agree with that? Hey, we didn't come out too bad, and our mom and dad beat the devil out of us. And there's a couple that still got a little of the devil in them. But I mean, our moms and dads, I don't believe you ought to abuse children. Say amen. I don't believe you ought to abuse children. But there's a right kind of biblical correction. Joshua, please, chapter 2. Joshua, the son of Nun, he sent out a shipment of two men to spy out secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and they came in. Would y'all say it back to me? What does it say? And they came into what? Say it to me. Harlot. Say it. Let's get together. Harlot. Me and Miss D. They came into a
harlot's house.
Harlot's house. Let's stop a minute. Go and look up. Go get you a Noah Webster 1828 dictionary and look up the word harlot. A harlot is an individual that sells himself or prostitutes himself for money or for gain. The Bible says it plainly that she's in verses 1, the harlot's house, named Rahab, And they lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out the country." The woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I will not pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them." Now, I don't know about that lying, because she was lying. She was telling a lie. I'm talking about Rahab was lying to the king of Jericho. Look at verse 6. "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and the Bible says, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. The men pursued after them the way to Jordan, under the fords. And as soon as they were gone, they were pursued after them. They were gone out. They shut the gate. Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land." Now I want you to watch this. Watch. "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land shall faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord, L-O-R-D, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Now this is Rahab talking to these two spies. Now drop down, look if you would, in verses 11. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, L-O-R-D, since I've showed you kindness, that you will show unto kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, now watch carefully, my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, it shall be that when the Lord hath given us the land, then we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Look if you don't mind in verse 15. "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house is upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest they pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers return, and afterward may you go your way." Verse 17. "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst set us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all of thy father's household home unto thee." I read those verses, all 18 verses, for a reason. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Make preaching easy for me. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, would you get a hold of us? And Lord, I pray more than anything, may we see that the fields are white unto harvest. And Lord, may we fall afresh anew in love, Lord, with the work of God and the things of God, and excite us and enthusiasm. May we be so enthusiastic over our walk with you that, Lord, people can see Christ living within us. Lord, I'd not forget, Lord, our American servicemen. Lord, I'd not forget. God, please drop a hedge around them. Lord, keep them out of harm's way. Lord, I think about the mothers, Lord, the dads that's lost their children. Oh, God, would you, Lord, please help them and see that, Lord, God, there is some things worth living for and some things are worth dying for. Bless these dear people. Thank you again. Now we pray in Christ's name. Amen. In this chapter in the book of Joshua, you'll find that Rahab the harlot, but you'll find also, and in this, now I want you to write this on the fly if you have your Bible. If you'll notice that this place called Jericho, that's back up if you would in your Bible, and watch this, and they're coming into Jericho. Now, if you read it, if you know anything about Jericho, she lived up on the tops of the walls. They could run, supposedly everything I've read, they could run chariots, have chariot races around the walls on the top. And I mean, people lived upon them. And how we know that, it plainly says she lived upon the wall, upon the top of the wall. Well, I got to thinking, and that's dangerous for me to do, but I thought about if I could tonight. God knows I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a blessing to you people. There's more to Christianity than coming in, sitting down, getting up, and going home. There's a world that's dying and going to hell. And if there ever was a time that we need to get a flame, it's in the hour in which we live. When I begin to put it in my mind, Jericho was a cursed city. Yet it was the richest of all. The doors is shut. But now drop down and look in your Bible, please. If you look in verse 9 down through verse 11, she knows. She says, we know what you've done to the kings of Sihon and Og. We know that. And yet she's a Rahab the harlot. So I began to put it in my mind. I thought about how death, if you notice in your Bible, death was coming. If you look in your Bible, she says, and back up if you would in verse 11. And I'm sorry, verse 10, of whom you utterly destroyed. She knew what God was doing amongst the children of Israel. But now, we're all under the sentence of death. Death is coming. Hey, and by the way, I believe this as sure as I'm sitting here. Destruction is coming. I seen tonight on y'all's news, just for a moment on the news, how there's aftershocks of that quake over in Illinois. The Bible says in Matthew 24, there'll not only be wars and rumors of wars, but it says earthquakes and famines. You know, I used to think, 25 years ago, I used to quote 2 Timothy 3. Know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Everybody readily agrees that that word perilous means dangerous. But brother, this is dangerous times. I ain't never seen nothing like it in my life. Surely our Lord's going to come and take us out of here. But I'm saying in this chapter here, Rahab is inside of this city, and the two spies come. She takes them up, hides them, and I want you to watch this. When I was a boy, when I used to go to Sunday school, I'll be honest with you, there's a whole lot of things that's unfixed me. When I was a little old boy, I can remember getting a little old Sunday school thing, and I'm going to see how many of y'all will be honest. I don't know if I've got the thing now, not in my files, but I had this little Sunday school thing that I got like a bulletin, and you know what it showed? It showed Rahab letting those spies down by a thread. That can't be. Boy, my tie crooked. Y'all look at me so pitiful. Read with me, drop down, and look if you would in verse 18. Behold, when we were come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down. What? Would y'all say it back? Bye. So you see, watch this. I went to Walmart, and I told you you can get anything at Walmart. I found me this. And I thought to myself, you see, it wasn't a thread. It had to be a rope. Because it let a man's weight, let's just say there was 160 pounds. And by the way, if it was 60 feet, the wall was 60 feet, that means that those men went down that wall on that rope. Would y'all say amen to that? And if you look in your Bible, she says, I want you to give me a token. All right? They took the scarlet rope and hung it out. The Bible says, and if you look in your Bible in verse 18, which thou did let us down by, and then watch this, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy brother, my mother, thy brethren, all thy father's house home unto thee. So in other words, everybody that was behind in that house, behind what, this, they were going to be spared. Would y'all say amen? So for a little while tonight, let me preach on Rahab the harlot and a scarlet rope. Let's go back, look in your Bible. You see, death was coming, destruction was coming, and I thought about to myself, but thank God, hey, it offered a way of deliverance. There's a day in my life that I was under the sentence of death, on my way to hell. Hey, thank God, but guess who came to me and brought me out of that place, thank God. Hey, I passed from death into life when I got saved. Thank God I'm behind the blood. You may believe about the blood. You may believe in the blood. But the blood has to be applied. Hallelujah. So you see, it was divinely appointed. But I begin to put it in my mind. Hebrews 9, verse 27. As it is appointed that a man wants to die, after this, the judgment. Had a funeral the other day. I thought, surely to goodness, that was what was going to speak to my brother's heart. I thought the death of Nathan, my son, I thought that would be what would bring my brother to the Lord. I thought the death of my uncle, I thought that would what would be bring my brother to the Lord. My brother's a good moral man. He excels as far as being a good person. He pays his debts, and he's been married 46 years. He'll tell you, and I believe this, he's never been unfaithful to his wife. I believe that. Pays every debt. But ask him if he is to die, he'd go to heaven. He has no assurance of that whatsoever. Here, a while back, after the death of my uncle Egbert, I was in Aiden, North Carolina, and I drove all the way from Aiden, North Carolina, all the way to Cincinnati to take care of my brother's, take care of my uncle's funeral. My brother sat there like he was totally in shock during the whole time. And I said, I'm going to use this as a means to witness to my brother. I went to my brother, put my arm around Bob, and I said, Bob, I don't want you to go to hell. And he just looked like he was stone-faced. I mean, no emotions whatsoever. I talked to my brother about death, and you know what my brother said? Let me tell you what my brother said. He said, Mel, that's depressing. I don't want to hear anything about death. So many of us, our day and time, we want to hide behind a cloak and pretend it's not out there, but death is out there. It's on our trail. Hey, by the way, and watch this. The Bible says the last enemy that should be destroyed, and that is death. So number one, write this down divinely, the point of all things, to hang a rope out a window, that's probably thought foolish. I'll guarantee you there's people drive up and down that road. They see our cars over here. They say, that's the most foolish thing I've ever seen. They go to church all the time. Hallelujah, thank God. Hey, look here. For 40-some years of my life, I know where my car's at. I know who I've been with and what I've done. You may think it's foolish, but I'm telling you, thank God, you get the blood of blood, it works. Hallelujah. Hey, divinely appointed. Let me show you something else. Of all things, probably you just thought foolish, a rope hanging out a window. And they look at us and they say, you poor old Christian, dear God, don't feel sorry for me. Hey, no. Hey, not only divinely appointed, not only of all things probably thought foolish, I mean just tied a rope out a window. And then watch this. If you look in verses back in verse 15, the Bible says, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house is upon the wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Now watch this. You know as well as I do, she's bound to watch them as they crawled out on that rope. She watched them as they go down. Say amen. I thought to myself, the confidence that she had in, I don't know. Don't look at me like that. I don't know why the rope was scarlet. I have no idea. But I know this. I believe the Bible is divinely inspired. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe it's no thread. I believe it was a rope, amen. Had to hold the weight of a man up. But my point is watch this. In verse 15, they get out on the ledge. They go down the ledge on that rope. Now watch this. But in verse 18, look at this. Now watch this. Now it's going to get good. Verse 18, it says this. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst set us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy father's household home unto thee. Now she knew that death was coming. She knew destruction was coming. And guess what she done? All she did was just done what the spies told her to do. Third thing, look in your Bible. Not only the confidence in that scarlet rope, but then it was abundantly sufficient. How do you know that? Go to chapter 6 just for a moment. Look in your Bible in chapter 6 and look in verse 22 in the book of Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, I want you to look in your Bible now. Watch what? No, let's read verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman, all that she has, as you swear unto her. Verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all of her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. Hallelujah, thank God. You can say whatever you want to say, but somehow another son, that woman convinced her family that, I mean, dear God, death was coming, amen. And the only hope for them was to escape it, guess what, was to do what? Be in that house when they did come. And guess what? All was hanging out was the window, was a red rope. So what I'm saying is, if you look at chapter 6 and verse 22, she went and got all of her mother, her father, her brethren. Hey, look here, I believe old time salvation, dear God, works, amen. I believe, boy, hey, look here, our day and time. Oh, you don't want to get me started on this. And years gone by, I believe with all of my heart, I pastored for years. I'm very people-orientated, but I believe this. In years gone by, people went out and got the children. Nothing wrong with that. But if you get the parents, dear God, you'll get the children. So what we did, we focused on this thing. Now listen to me and hang on to this just for a moment. You see, the order is dad, mom, children. Say amen. So what I'm trying to get you to see and understand this, brother, in our day and time, our homes are so fragmented, they're falling apart, they're dysfunctional. You know the reason why? We've got everything out of God's order. Hey, now watch it. So watch it. It was abundant, sufficient. Let me tell you why. How I used to in years gone by. I seen it back in the early 70s. We was in the midst of a moving of God and didn't have sense enough to know it. In years gone by, I used to see this happen. I used to see the mom get saved. And when the mom gets saved, then the children get saved. And guess what? Everybody get to praying for that sorry husband. And guess what? Then the husband would get saved. First thing you know, boy, you had a whole household. I mean, boy, look here. I'm talking about, do y'all remember how you used to have prayer meetings? Cottage prayer meetings. Anybody here outside me remember them? Man, we used to have cottage prayer meetings and more. I have seen houses literally full on Friday night. I mean, of nothing but cottage prayer meeting people. And they get in there, boy, and they bring people to the cottage prayer meetings. And guess what? They get saved there and come to church on Sunday morning. First thing you know, we'll be baptizing. Hey, 25 or 30. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying, hey, the blood, thank God. I'm talking about, if you listen, they hung that rope out that window, and Rahab said, told her family that death's coming, destruction's coming. But guess what? Every one of them that was behind that, guess what? They spared them, amen. Now watch this. Look on in your Bible. Not only was it abundant and sufficient, we're saved by the blood. Thank God we're sheltered, amen. Somebody wrote me this letter. I get mail all the time. How do I get mail all the time from my radio listeners? This one man sent me probably 25 tapes, and he is trying to straighten me out on the doctrine of election. Guess what I done? I did honestly. I got a letter from him. He won't know that I used them all. I said, I used every one of them. I erased them and used them. Yeah, I did. I got a hand page. There was 27 pages of handwritten. Now, how long that would take you, I don't have no idea. How long would it take you to sit down and write, handwrite a 27-page letter? I read every, you ought to heard this junk. You ought to heard this junk. He was hoping I'd make it through. He was hoping that I wouldn't be here. I mean, he was hoping that when the Lord come and separated the sheep from the goats, ain't that pitiful? That people don't know any more about the Word of God. I'm not knocking. I'm just trying to get you to see what I'm saying. It's the blood. Thank God we're sheltered by the blood. Say amen to me. We're saved by the blood. We're sheltered by the blood. And thank God, hey, there is security behind the blood. Amen. I ain't worried about no great tribulation period. I ain't worried about it. I'm not worried about Russia. I'm more concerned about China than I am Russia. Amen, sister. But now you read Ezekiel 36 and 37, 38, and the old Russia is still there. But I'm saying, watch it. We that's had the blood of Christ, we're not going to be here during no great tribulation period. That ought to stop and make us all shout and have a spell. Now, I do agree that it's going to get bad up until the rapture. But boy, I'm talking about the church don't go through no part of it. Let me tell you why. The blood, thank God's been applied. Say amen. We're behind the blood. Amen. It gets a little better. Watch it. Notice in chapter 2, verse 21, that it had to be personally placed. I love Miss Betty. Now watch this. I love Miss Betty. But, brother, Miss Betty's life doesn't amount to nothing to Jay's life. Not concerning salvation. In other words, Jay can't go in on the hem of her garment because of what she done. You must have a personal, intimate relationship in the Son of God. I'm sorry. My children. I go back and I think about my children. Because I'm a preacher, because they live in a preacher's household, because they've been raised up in a Christian school, that does not mean anything. It just means they've been afforded the opportunity to do what? To hear the gospel, amen. What I'm saying is, you're not saved by works. You're not saved by water. You're not saved by somebody putting a wafer on your tongue. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, look at that. I'll preach in a minute. Now, watch this. So she takes the rope and hangs it out the window. Am I right? But now, guess what? I wish you would quit that thing. Them children's going to be without a dad. And then the grandparents have to raise them. Listen to me. It has to be what? She personally placed the rope. Would y'all say amen? Now watch this. Miss Donna read it a moment ago about that she was a harlot. Now keep your finger there, and I want to show you this. Go with me to Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Go to Hebrews, chapter 11, and look in your Bible just for a moment. Look at Hebrews, please, chapter 11. So she personally placed that rope in that window. And now watch it. It's not money. It's not how much or how much you labor. It's not by your goodness. It's not how much you quit all your cussing, drinking, dipping, chewing. And by the way, if it was a matter of works, how do you know when you've done enough works? How do you know when you've quit enough stuff? How do you know when you've got it to hold to your bootstraps and pulled yourself up to the point to where God will accept you? You don't know that. Thank God salvation's a gift. Shout yes, amen. It's a gift, amen. You can't earn a gift. Watch this. All she did was hang that thing out the window. Look in chapter 11. Look in Hebrews 11. Look in verses. Let's read verse 30. By faith the walls, in verse 30, Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Look in verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with faith. Now you can argue with God when you get to heaven, but there's a woman by the name of Rahab in Hebrews chapter 11 that's mentioned right along all those other great heroes of the faith. Amen. 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 Is it against the law to say amen? Hebrews 11, it plainly says, by faith, Rahab, the harlot. Who would have ever thought of that? Who would have ever thought in Joshua chapter 2, just by doing what? By hanging a cord out a window. But in Hebrews chapter 11, she's numbered what? In the hall of fame, amen. Ain't that a blessing? Who'd ever thought that? Go to Matthew, please, in chapter 1, I believe it is. Go to Matthew, please, in chapter 1, just for a moment. Look in your Bible, please, in Matthew chapter 1. Oh, thank God. Hey, watch this. Look in Matthew, please, in chapter 1. Now, let me read it to you. Let's read together real slowly. Look in verse 1 in Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So now then, we're talking about the genealogy of who? Say it back to me. The Lord Jesus. The genealogy of the Lord Jesus. Look in verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Verse 3. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. How many of y'all remember Tamar in the Bible? How many of y'all remember what happened to Tamar? Boy, is it quiet in here tonight. Well, let's go a little farther and I'll come back to Tamar. Then Tamar and Phares begat Ezraim, and Ezraim begat Aram. Aram begat Abidam, and Abidam begat Nason, and Nason begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. Hello. Now then we find two women in the genealogy of Christ. Drop on down. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Now we got three women in the genealogy of Christ. Look at what. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. We're talking about Bathsheba. Let's go back to Tamar just for a moment. How many of y'all remember that Absalom killed Ammon? Ammon had raped his own sister, half-sister. Absalom killed Ammon. But who would have ever thought that she would be in the genealogy? Hey, look at that thing right there. Who'd ever thought that'd been in the genealogy? Yeah. Yeah, wimp. Who would have ever thought that something like you and I would be made kings and priests unto God? Who would have ever thought that at one time we were the scum of the earth? Y'all may not admit this. We were filthy, nothing good about any of us. We got what we deserved, we'd all get hell. But thank God he came to where we was at, reached down to the slop buckets of this world and picked us up out of there and saved us, amen. Amen. Who'd ever thought that something like me would be part of that family? Hallelujah, Jay. Notice in your Bible. Now watch this. Tamar, number one. Write this down. Now watch this. Then we find Rahab. Look in your Bible. It plainly says, if you look in your Bible in verse 5, Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. Who would have ever thought that Rahab would be in the genealogy of our Lord? Let me tell you what I've done, Kath. My name is S-I-S-S-O-N. The proper pronunciation is Sison. Now, I don't, that's a bunch of junk. I went to Cincinnati, so I got this real bright idea that I'd go down there at that great big old church and I'd look up the genealogy of my family. Oh, was I in for a rude awakening. Man, I got to bring that up on that screen. They was horse thieves, murderers, robbers. I ain't never in my life. I closed that book, amen. How you? Don't worry. You probably got some back there too, Clark. Hey. Anybody with a name like D-A-M-E-S, no telling what they got back there in theirs.
You got that right.
Yes, sir. Say amen. And Bradley, whoopee. Probably a bunch of horse thieves back there. But I'm trying, sister, Houghton, who would have ever thought that we, that are saved by the grace of God, rebels, renegade, rotten to the core, just because one day we accepted Christ and the shed blood, and look at what He's made us, kings and priests unto God. Amen. Glory to God, that thrills me to death. Amen. Read Revelation 1 and verse 5. He's made us kings and priests unto God. Did you know really we're royal? I love it. I go into a bank for whatever reason, sign my name. They'll say, "Are you a foreigner?" I said, "Yeah, born in Lincoln County, Kentucky. I'm a foreigner." C'est ça, ain't that pitiful? I was kidding, Brother Jay. I said, "Sous-tu play baby phone, say monsieur." He said, "What?" I said it again. What I'm saying is, who would have ever thought that Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba would be in the genealogy of Christ? How many of y'all remember Bathsheba in the Word of God? Would y'all raise your hand? It was in 1 Kings. How many of y'all remember? It's time for kings to go to war. David being up on the rooftop. Guess what? Bathsheba was not at fault. He looks down, sees Bathsheba, sent for, had her, brought her to him, him being the king. She gets with a child. Say amen. And then David lies, gets drunk, commits premeditated murder. The man after God's own heart. Who would have ever thought that Bathsheba would be in the genealogy of Christ? Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought Rahab? Who? Look in your Bible. A woman that sold herself to make gain money. Sold her body. But the Bible says, you can argue that if you want to. Look in your Bible. Now watch this. She's in the genealogy. I don't think the Lord could even bless y'all. Look in your Bible, Matthew 1. Tamar, and then Rahab, and then Ruth. And then watch this. The wife of Uriah, or Bathsheba. There's four women. Every one of them, if you check it out, go back and check out their history. Check out their genealogy. Oh, what are you trying to get me to see, brother? I'm trying to get you to see she's in the Hall of Fame. And number two, thank God she's in the genealogy of Christ. Amen. Boy, guess what? Thank God there's hope for sinners. Say amen. Oh, drunks and harlots and rebels and renegades. Thank God there's hope for sinners. Amen. Amen. I got to tell y'all this. If I ain't told you, I'm fixing to. Every year of my life, I'm with this preacher in Lynchburg, Virginia. Not Jerry Falwell either. Every year of my life, I'm with him. And the only way I can describe him to you, this is not a put down. He looks like Boss Hogg. He's about this tall. Honestly. And his hairline, everything is just like Boss Hogg. They got the nicest farm you ever seen in your life. They fixed one room, nothing but for a preacher. So every year I'm with him, I stay with him. He says, "That's your room." I said, "I want mine to go." He puts me in that room. Got my own bath, got my own air kit. I got everything. I mean, boy, it's wonderful. And his wife, she works a job, so she leaves real early. And so Jack and I have the whole house all day to ourselves. He said, "What time do you get up?" I said, "Well, I get up early." He said, "I'll have the coffee ready." The next morning I go up down there. He's standing there, and he's doing this. I said, "Brother Jack, what are you doing?" He said, "Miss Carolyn wants me to do my exercise, and that's enough." I got down to the floor, died at that crazy thing. But he's got a brother named Jimmy. Jimmy lives on the streets of Lynchburg. Lives in a refrigerator box. If you knew the times in 30-some years that we went down and got him out of jail. If you knew the times that I've went down on the streets of Lynchburg with his brother, and we find Jimmy, I mean, so drunk, so hopped up on wine, oh, that old rot gut wine, his body odor will knock you down, his breath will knock you down, his hair matted together, his beard all growed out. Boy, I've witnessed to Jimmy time and time again. Time and time again I've witnessed to Jimmy. He got in the back, listen to this, we went down and got him out of the Lynchburg jail. He was in a cell that was made for six people, and there were 16 people in the cell. Jimmy doesn't weigh probably 120 pounds soaking wet. They took his medication from him, took what little change they had from him. We got him out of jail. We get in the back seat. Miss Carolyn's riding passenger. Brother Jack's driving. He gets in the back seat with me. He looks over at me and says, Brother Sisson, I'm ashamed for you to see me this way. I said, Jimmy, there's one that died for you that's already seen you in the condition you're in. I said, Jimmy, would you come to church tonight? I said, Jimmy, please, I wish you would come. Come tonight. He said, Brother Sisson, and his hands were shaking. Y'all probably don't understand this if you've never seen anybody go into DTs and his hands shake and his convulses. And anyway, so he said, I've got to get myself in better shape. He didn't come that night. The next night I looked for him, but he didn't come. The singing was over, the choir got done. I went to the pulpit, looked back there, and Jimmy was sitting back there. Had a pair of clean Levi's on, had a plaid shirt, and it buttoned all the way up to here. Had his hair combed back. Boy, I preached that night, and I pleaded for him to get saved. We must have sang 25 verses of Just As I Am, but Jimmy didn't come. After the services, I'm standing back there in the back. That's the last night, getting ready to go to the home. He comes out the door, and his hands is calm, and I don't know where he got the $10 from, but he put a $10 bill in my pocket. He said, I want you and Miss Mary to go eat a meal on me. I said, Jimmy, I don't want your $10. Please, Jimmy. I tried to give him the $10 back. No, I want you to have that. Boy, I got it. I said, and I hugged his neck, and I said, Jimmy, I'm going to go home with a heavy heart. I said, Jimmy, you need to get saved. Jimmy, you need to get saved. Didn't say nothing. 4 o'clock that next morning, I'm on the road. I'm on the way home. Jack told me that he'd come over there and beat on the door. And said, he says, Jack, get up. Get up, Jack. Jack got up, come down. And they look almost alike, except one of them's real skinny and one of them's heavy. And can you believe that Jimmy, on his knees, got saved that morning? Listen to this. I went to bed. I got home about 3:30. I went to bed. And the next morning, Jack said he figured I'd sleep 4 or 5 hours and get up. Call me. I said, Brother Sisson, guess what happened? I said, tell me. He said, Jimmy got saved. I said, guess what? I said, Jimmy's going with me tonight to prayer meeting. Jimmy's going to him with a prayer meeting. A wino that lives on the streets of Lynchburg. Now listen to me. Lives in a refrigerator box. He goes to prayer meeting with him that night. He tells everybody what God done for him and how God saved him. Jimmy. Said he told all those men that God saved him, that he knew that he was saved, and that he wanted them to pray for him. Now listen to this. On the way home, they live about 8 or 10 miles outside of Lynchburg. Jack looks over at Jimmy. Jimmy looks over at Jack, and he says, Jack, I've got a half a pint of wine that I need to dispose of. He said, I was going to give it to my buddies, but he said, if it's wrong to me to drink, it says it's wrong me to give it to my buddies. Told Jack, said, I think I'll just pour it out. For a wino to pour out a half a gallon of wine, say amen to me. Amen. Something's done happened in his heart.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, something's done happened inside that boy's heart. What I'm trying to get you to see, God loves sinners, amen. Amen. Drunks and harlots and thieves and Rahab the harlot. Isn't that wonderful? See, if somehow or another that would break up on us, that God loves them. Listen to me. I don't agree with this stuff. I don't agree with this hard, vindictive stuff. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He's the magnet, amen. All we need to do is, like Brother Lord said, preach the gospel, dear God. Preach the gospel and let that dynamite explode in their heart, amen. One of the joys of my life when I pastored. I used to have a bass section, an alto, and a soprano section. That big old auditorium at High Point. Law me. I'd be sitting there, Brother Jay, and I'd look up there and some of them, boy, that's when we was busted at the seams, and I'd look up there and some of them women that singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Some of them used to be streetwalkers in Cincinnati, amen, and now they're singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, some of them that, boy, used to sell their bodies, some of them that used to, I mean, men over here, I mean, used to be drunks and winos, and boy, hey, look here. I say thank God, hallelujah. Every one of them that's behind that blood is saved as you are. Hey, they're just as clean as you are. Their names is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, amen. Watch this. Go right back to the book of Joshua. Now I want you to see this. So she had to bind the scarlet cord personally. And she was the one that took and hanged that rope out the window. Listen to this. Go to chapter 6 just for a moment. I hope it tears your heart out. Look in chapter 6 in the book of Joshua just for a moment. Look in your Bible. Boy, I mean, when you realize what God done for you, I believe you'll want to come early and go home late. Say amen. Boy, when you realize you're saved forever, are y'all listening to me? And that nothing can happen to you without His knowledge, I believe you'll want to tell everybody about getting saved. Amen. Let me rewind that again. You'll want to tell everybody. Well, I might as well just confess up. I'm on 5 radio stations Monday through Friday, and sometimes, boy, it sure gets hard to keep all the corners up. For whatever reason, I don't know. I sure appreciate it with all my heart. This man sent me a check for $500. Mary usually can tell when something's happened because I'll shout a lot. Hey, I go to that post office, and that box number 3145, I've been there for 20-some years of my life. They made me at the post office. They made me honorary citizen, postal, Miss Congeniality and all that junk. They do everything to me at that post office. And all of them say and love the Lord. But listen to this. We go over sometimes a revival about breaks out. In my box, you know what a post office box is? They take all of them mailers and stuff them in there till you can't even open the box up. Sometimes they put a mousetrap in there. They do everything to me. I went over there, and honestly, we'd had a rough month that month, I mean, financially. I went in there, Miss Betty, tore all them old mailers out, and there was a check for $500. Miss Kathy, I said, whoa! They scared that whole post office to death. They was going into lockdown. I told Don, and I told Gene, I said, it's all right. They thought that that mousetrap had got me. That's what they thought. They thought I was going to sue them. That's what they thought. Now watch this. I'm not going to mention this man's name. I don't want to rob him of a reward. Watch this. Do you think, look at me, do you think that I'll ever forget that benefactor? No way in this world. Hey, how in the world, how can we, somebody ever really been good to you? Somebody in your life that's really been good to you, would you just slip your hand up? That just went above and beyond, you know what I mean? See, you raise your hand. See, you remember, right? My point is watch this. How could we ever forget the one that made it possible to go behind the blood? I believe one of the greatest needs in Baptist churches is to remember where God brought you from. And what garbage, you'll never see me look down my nose on nobody. Never. I'm saying, hey, look here. God reached down into the sewers and the slop buckets of this world and got me and you out of there. How could you look down your nose on anybody? We need to get rid of this junk in our churches. You know, I'm bigger, I'm more important, big U's and little I's and all that junk. Say amen to me. If you be honest, we're all a sorry bunch. Amen. But in chapter 6, I've got to show you, his daughter forgot. Daughter had that senior moment. Go to chapter 6, look in your Bible just for a moment. Look in your Bible. Now, verses 22. Now watch. Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Joshua, go into what? Say it back to me. Go into the harlot's house. Now listen. Now watch. Go into the harlot's house. Verse 22. Bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. Verse 23. The young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, all that she had, and they brought out all of her kindred, every one of her kindred, amen. You could say all you want to say, but son, she had done something to convince them Sunday it was coming. Being a person in here, if you'd really be honest, well, we believe something climatic is fixing to happen. Something climatically is fixing to happen. I believe these shortages, I believe we've just seen just a little of the things what's going to happen. Here's your good analogy. The church is the bride. Say amen. You've never seen a dirty bride in your life. A bride always adorns herself, bathes herself for her husband. So if the church is the bride, it's got to be cleaned up. You know what's going to clean the church up? It's called adversity. And I'm talking about, son, it's on the horizon. I know people don't believe this. You're going to see more and more shortages. Can I ask y'all a question? Hypothetically, let's just say, people don't want their lives disrupted anyway. We don't like to be inconvenienced. Say amen. Let's just say we go on gas rationing. Let's just say we do. Can you imagine what it'll be like? Do you have any idea what it would be like? How about if not being able to buy flour or milk? I know people don't believe this. I'm telling you, destruction is coming. Boy, I'm so glad I'm saved. I try my best to tell everybody and their brother. Boy, I'm so glad one day, thank God, I'm glad I came to Jesus just in simple faith. I've had a little bit of success winning some of my family, not all of them, but I sure try to win them. In that chapter 6, verse 22, and all that she had and all of her family. Don't you want your family saved? Hey, how many of you know that now that you are saved, that somebody prayed for you? Kept you out of hell? Amen. Some of us would be in the charred regions of the damned if it hadn't been somebody praying for us. I think where in the world I would be if somebody hadn't told me about the Lord. Oh, may God help us. What I'm trying to get you to see, a scarlet rope was hung out a window. And now that I find she's in the genealogy of our Lord. She's in Hebrews chapter 11. She's in the Hall of Fame. Right along with Moses. Right along with all those old patriarchs. She's in there. Chapter 11. Who'd ever thought that? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.